I'm in the studio at WOOC in Troy, New York, and we are connected with Aditi Padmanabhan, who is an attorney with the NYCLU, and Crispin Hernandez, a former employee of Mark's Farms LLC in Lowville, New York, and we are talking about a case that they are both involved in. Aditi, what is actually the formal name of the case?
The case is Hernandez v. State of New York.
Could you talk about what the basic nature of this case is?
We're suing to challenge the exclusion of farm workers from the state labor relations law, known as SARA, the State Employment Relations Act. We're challenging the exclusion of farm workers from SARA because it violates the state constitution, which provides in its Bill of Rights that employees have the right to organize and collectively bargain. We're also challenging the exclusion of farm workers because that exclusion is a vestige of our country's racist past. The state labor relations law was passed in the 1930s in the Jim Crow era, and it was modeled on federal labor law at the national level. The president needed the support of Southern Democrats to pass the federal law on which SARA is modeled. And in that time, the Southern Democrats were invested in the economic and social subordination of black workers who were disproportionately represented in the agricultural industry. The state law, which models and mirrors the federal law, incorporates the racist exclusion from the federal law, and that violates equal protection. And finally, farm workers are a politically powerless group in New York society, and their exclusion from this law that would allow them to come together and build power perpetuates their second-class status, and that also violates equal protection.
Crispin, my understanding is that you worked at Mark's Farms LLC in Lowville, New York, which is a dairy farm, and that there were certain workplace conditions and other things that you were trying to have the management address, and they were in opposition to that and eventually fired you for those things. So why don't you describe, first of all, what the workplace conditions were at Mark's Farms and what were the sorts of things that you got involved in?
Sí, gracias.
While he was there, he noticed that there were some things that were inconsistent with just farm safety and things that were able to help him do his job. Like, for example, the owners didn't do a great job at providing the appropriate training for either himself or any of his workers. And one of the things that he was hoping to do was, for example, get them to purchase the long gloves. He was one of the cow milkers, and that helps with health and safety. And instead of having the workers buy those gloves, he wanted the owners to provide those gloves as part of the work. Which they refused.
Did the owners meet any of your requests, or were they in opposition to the entire idea?
He noticed that there's a lot of injustice at the ranch that he worked in. He knew that he would be fired if he spoke, because the owners knew that even though the right to organize is protected by law, as farm workers, they're excluded. So Crispin is saying that they were very aware of that law, and they knew that that was something that they could use. And so when they saw him speaking with Rebecca Fuentes, one of the worker organizers, they fired him about a week after that, knowing that he was going to try to help organize something. Even though these farm owners have the obligation to teach their employees how to do their job, he was never offered that service, and he's never seen that service be offered to any of his workers. But on top of that, the main point that he's trying to focus on is that agriculture work is very dangerous, and people have been injured. People have, even left their lives on the field because they were untrained and they weren't able to follow proper procedures or health and safety regulations because there was never any initial explanation of those rules or any of those safety measures. So this is an ongoing systemic issue. He's faced these issues over time, especially, for example, with the use of different chemicals in the field. Even though they're harmful for their workers, and farmer workers have been reporting these terrible conditions, thousands of them are facing it each and every day because their words really don't mean anything with the owners of the farms. And they're faced with these deplorable conditions that cause all of these separate accidents. So Crispin is saying that there are a lot of different farm workers that contact him saying that I've been in this accident or I've been in that accident because of the lack of training and the hazardous situations that are present in everyday farm life work.
So that's at multiple farms?
These same examples can be found in apple farms, vegetable farms, everywhere in New York State agriculture. And really what they're fighting for is that these workers have a lack of respect and dignity, and that's what they're fighting for. They need to know how to do their jobs, and they need to know what the risks are for their jobs. They need to know what to do to avoid having accidents at their farms, and farm workers just don't have access to that information.
So safety is obviously a primary concern. What about wages?
The minimum federal wage is at $7.25, and New York State is now $11.10. But there are many farm workers that don't receive nearly that. And one of the challenges that farm workers face is wage theft. And that's prevalent throughout the industry.
Ms. Fuentes, who you spoke with, who I understand is an organizer, did you reach out to her or did she reach out to you? And how did that develop?
Crispin joined the Center for Workers in 2014 and became more and more involved. And in 2015, the owners realized that he was starting to have a more solid relationship with the worker center. So the owners actually began to intimidate him. And so one of the ways that they intimidated him was by removing him from his usual work. He's a dairy farmer, so he was milking cows. The owners actually took him away from his usual work and used him only as replacements for his other employees' work. And the intimidation continued in various other ways until he was forced to ask for help. He asked the center for help, which included Rebecca Fuentes. So he went and actually had a conversation with her at a coworker's house, not anywhere near the actual location of the farm. And they were chatting in general. They were also chatting about the different hardships of the working conditions that he's in, but he was also discussing things like English courses, for example. But once the owners realized what was happening and that he was having these conversations and building this relationship with the worker center, he actually had the police called on him, and the state and county officers came to that meeting while he was having this conversation with Rebecca Fuentes. In the 3 years of work that he performed for Mark's Farm, he did not ask for any days off. He worked through sicknesses, colds, everything. He did not ask for a day off until one day. His day off technically was supposed to be on Thursday, but he'd like to change it to a Friday because he wanted to have a meeting with the Center for Workers. And that was when the main issues also started with the owners, because they realized that he was really building this relationship. So the farm owners want to make sure that the workers are kept in the dark, that they don't know about their basic human rights. They don't know about their minimum wage. They don't know about how many basic days they have off. And that's something that they're doing deliberately. Even though some of these laws may exist, the farm owners want to make sure that the workers don't know about them so that they can't use their days off and that they can't have their basic proper human rights, which farm workers deserve this and more.
Can I just clarify one thing? What Crispin said about the meeting that he had with Ms. Fuentes as well as other workers.
Mm-hmm.
They were there to meet to talk about how to come together to form a workers' committee to discuss some of the issues that Crispin has been talking about, the issue of the gloves and the English classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make that clear, because I think...
So it wasn't formally about unionization at that point?
Right. It was about coming together to kind of discuss working conditions and to figure out how to move forward on many of the issues.
Okay. What I was actually going to ask you to bring you in the conversation was, how did you and the NYCLU end up coming into the picture on this case?
We found out about what happened to Crispin through the Worker Center and through the Worker Justice Center. And the retaliatory firing of Crispin, because he was attempting to organize to improve the working conditions on his farm, that's the type of protected activity that other workers would be protected from under labor laws, and farm workers are excluded from those protections. And that's what the lawsuit challenges.
This lawsuit has now gone through several hearings at this point. I think it was attempted to be dismissed. Could you maybe describe some of the turning points so far and where it stands currently?
Sure. So we filed the case in May of 2016. We sued the state for the exclusion of farm workers from the state labor relations law. The state and the governor agreed that the exclusion of farm workers violated the Constitution and said that they would not defend the exclusion of farm workers in court. The Farm Bureau, which is the agricultural industry's lobbying arm, moved to intervene in the case, and the Farm Bureau is now defending the law in court. The Farm Bureau moved to dismiss the complaint, which the trial court granted earlier this year, and we have appealed that ruling, and argument was just heard at the Intermediate Appellate Court in New York.
The Farm Bureau, I've read a number of articles about this case so far, and Farm Bureau is basically saying that they are representing the interests of small farms, and they characterize them as family farms, something to the tune of 35,000 farms in New York State, and that overturning this legislation would victimize them. Is there any truth to that at all, or What is your perspective on that?
No. You look at other states like California that do provide farm workers the right to organize. Those states continue to have thriving agricultural industries.
In terms of the hearing that was last week, what's the timetable going forward?
Well, the case was just argued, and so now the court is going to issue a ruling on the appeal.
Trials like this can stretch out over a long period of time and be very burdensome with legal fees and time commitments. Is Crispin still working in farming, or where is he working at this point?
Okay, so Crispin is actually working with the Worker Center of Central New York, and he's teaching other workers about their basic rights, and that's what he's living off of right now. Originally, he was linked to the Worker Center as an agricultural worker, but now he's being paid by the center to help train other workers.
I have two more questions. One is, moving slightly away from the suit, how has the Trump administration's aggressive crackdown on immigration of all types affected the farming industry and your own life?
First and foremost, under the Trump administration, farm work has become increasingly difficult, especially as more people are learning about the different abuses that are happening to farm workers, but there's really no space to really be as vocal as you'd like about it. But what Crispin would like to highlight is the fact that this is a real situation in all of New York State agriculture. Most farm workers live through everyday abuses of their human rights. And everyone, all of us, consume either milk products, fruit, or vegetables that all come from these workers. But we don't acknowledge either their work, we don't acknowledge the people, and we also don't acknowledge the fact that the New York State economy would suffer without these farm workers being present. And in fact, we're just letting them to suffer alone. Even though we're talking specifically today about the New York State agricultural workers, that this example can be related globally. The fruits of labors in New York are not only exported nationally, but internationally as well, and that no emphasis is put on the actual labor and the experiences of the laborers that are working under this farm position. It should be their right, undocumented or documented, to be able to stand up in the face of injustice. And a lot of the workers are scared to speak about this particular case or even any of the particular cases that they live with because of the constant intimidation. What Crispin is asking for is for politicians and the community alike to recognize that farm workers are part of the community, and often they're not included in the talks of being a community or even invited to have these conversations about how to become a more successful community. But the fact that there are just too many injustices happening to these farm workers, and the fact that they are actively being deprived of a voice specifically only because they're farm workers, is one of the reasons that they're actually going through with this and fighting this through the court system, because all farm workers deserve to be treated as workers because they are helping our New York State economy and they are providing a lot of work that would not be otherwise possible, but they're really being denied the rights of any other human worker.
Okay, so one more question that I want to send out first to Aditi. So we've covered a lot of ground in this interview. Are there any particular issues that you feel that we haven't covered? And also, for people who want to follow this case and perhaps get involved, are there any particular websites or other places to go to do that?
Sure. I just want to reiterate that this lawsuit would not have been possible without the courage of people like Crispin, the organizers at the Worker Center and the Worker Justice Center, and the tireless work they've put into in raising these issues and building worker power. And if people are interested in learning more, they can go on the NYCLU website where there's information about the case. They should also go on the pages of the Worker Center of Central New York and the Worker Justice Center, who do amazing work on the ground, on the front lines of these issues and other issues affecting marginalized workers in New York State.
Great. And Crispin, is there anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't covered today?
So what the emphasis of this entire project is about is actually to guarantee that agricultural workers have the right to be listened to. They deserve the right to be listened to, and that's not at all what's happening in New York State agriculture right now. Crispin is just demanding that farm workers be treated with dignity and respect because their work is very important, but they're not treated as such. They really don't want to live through the abuse anymore. I think it's been clear that it's been consistent. Farm workers have been excluded since 1930. And since that time, workers of all shapes, sizes, and all sorts of different farm industries have been abused, and they're sick of it. And it's time that the abuse is ended. And the only way that this abuse can stop is the fact that they would have to be removed from the exclusion list or the workers' protection list.
That was Crispin Hernandez and Aditi Padmanabhan regarding their case about farm workers' rights in New York State. A special thank you to Sonia Sandoval for acting as translator for Crispin Hernandez.